live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
And welcome back once again to the Data Doctors radio program. It's Ken Brandon and Mac Fanboy Spanky Ken Squared 2, whatever we're going to call you this week.
The other guy.
The other Ken.
Say cheese. It's cheese. Click and upload. There's a better way to do it.
And how much money is too much money?
Just say no to Facebook if you're a Canuck.
Data Doctors radio program.
So I'm the photographer in the group.
Or at least you pretend to be.
I pretend to be.
I've seen his stuff. He's actually very legit.
I have. Well, here's why you're legit. Because you get paid.
I do get paid to do it.
That moves you from amateur right to pro.
That does. People pay me lots of money to take lots of pictures of them. There is a cool little device. It's called the iFi card. So if any of you guys have ever used it, it's a little SD card that goes into your camera, and it takes the place of a standard SD card. And what it does is it transmits your images to your computer directly while you're shooting.
So it's got memory in it to record, but it also at the same time can dump them somewhere?
Correct. It does both simultaneously at the same time and together.
Wirelessly.
Well, now they've taken it to the next step. So iFi has come out with a new mobile version, which what it does is when you take the picture, offloads it directly to your smartphone, your iPad. And so the images, as you shoot, go in your camera, and they also go right to your mobile device.
So this way, when I'm away from home taking images, because like you, most of the images you take, you're not where your computer is, and you don't want to leave your Mac sitting open somewhere and do your
thing.
That
is correct.
So now it just dumps into your phone as you go.
Correct.
Or there's two real cool reasons I can think of using this. One is if you're really socially active, right? You're constantly posting things. But you don't want to use the crappy camera on your smartphone.
No, because the cameras on the smartphone are good for certain things, like a quick picture of your kid or some event. But when you want to take a really good picture with your digital camera, this is a great way. Because if you have your smartphone with you, you're using the better camera, or if you have an iPad. And the cool thing about it is that it takes about 10 seconds. It shows up right in your tablet's video or image library.
Right. So I can imagine you've got like a party going on at your house, right? And you've got a couple people that have these on their cameras. And you could have pictures that are being taken right now displayed on iPads or people are passing around on the coffee table or up on the big screen TV or whatever.
It can get pretty crazy. Let's just say it's really cool too. The gee whiz factor on this thing's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool, and they're fast, and the quality is great. And because your mobile device is in your pocket or on your person or just a few feet away, you don't have a. Your camera becomes a hotspot, basically.
Yeah. We're gonna have to get one of these and play around with it. But hey, when's the last time any of you guys bought a CD? You went and bought an actual compact disc.
Those are those round vinyl things, right?
A silver.
I think it was back in the last century. I don't think I've purchased
just after
one in,
electricity was invented, I think.
Yeah, sometime around there. In the 1900s.
Because I was against the big Apple machine for so long, I refused to buy iTunes stuff just because I was, you know, old school.
Because they're the man.
Well, the other thing is I would buy used CDs, and then I'd just slap them in, and all of my machines, home, office, everywhere, were just set to, as soon as I put a new CD in, it just automatically burned it. Ripped the CD. Yeah,
brought
it on. So now I had it in every music library on all the machines because it was a low tech way for me to manage that. But jeepers, iTunes is really spectacular, isn't it?
And then there was Pandora.
Well, and then there's YouTube. YouTube is beating the pants off of iTunes when it comes to online music consumption. I mean, people go to YouTube to watch music videos. You know, so whenever I want to get my Lady Gaga on.
You're Gaga.
I love Lady Gaga.
So one of the cool things about YouTube, and there's a couple of other sort of more obscure things, sort of like Pandora, is that if you're into like live, so it's not the radio version, it's the live version. There's another one called Wolfgang's Vault that has more obscure stuff and has a lot more of the live tracks and things like that. That's another streaming kind of radio, but it's a little bit more alternative.
Does it have any of the sound files from Wolfenstein? In the background, whenever you make a change?
Just because it's Wolfgang's fault. That's the way we have to roll.
You know, I think if you look at CDs, I think CDs, my kids, maybe my older ones will remember what CDs are. The little ones won't. And as time goes on, Pandora is getting better and better. I know that there's demand stuff and then there's the passive stuff. Pandora is passive.
Right.
But I drove a couple of hundred miles on a Pandora channel and never once lost it. and I was going up through mountains, so it's got some good buffering and stuff. So, you know, CDs, pretty much gone.
If, if you're a satellite radio, if you're Sirius XM,
oh, I'm worried.
You've got to be a little worried about things like Pandora that, that, like you said, you could drive for a couple of hours. Well, you were connected. You played what you wanted.
And isn't Ford trying to actually put a Pandora receiving unit in the actual dash? So you don't even have to have your smartphone or anything else. So.
And I heard Toyota was toying with that for a while. And Toyota, I thought Toyota was going to lead the way on those. And they just kind of dropped the ball.
So here's what you're going to hear down the road. Grandpa Spanky, what's an MP3? How long before they're irrelevant?
You know what? Eventually, they're going to come out. They're going to go away because some new technology is going to be invented. But, boy, streaming is just killer. I can't imagine our office at Data Doctors without having music in the halls, and that's all done via stream.
Right.
You know, we just pick our channel of the day, and we're ready to go.
By the way, we're going to start a program where somebody in the office gets to be DJ of the day.
DJ for the day.
Right? Right?
You do that so much better than I do, Brandon.
When Chris gets the ball, you know, he like DJs on weekends, and I'm sure we're going to all pay.
I'm sure we will. But you know what? Speaking of paying, Amazon thinks people are idiots, I think. Don't you?
Amazon's the idiot here. I mean... So Amazon, if you have a Kindle device or know what the Kindle is an e-reader, allows you to pick up those books. And
is that
just,
anything like a CD?
Eventually it will be. Amazon just lowered the price, drastic price cut on the Amazon Kindle.
What, $20? How much?
Yeah, $25.
$25? No way.
And what do you?
That was a complete stab in the dark.
And for the big deep discount.
Deep discount.
You now get to see commercials.
With limited commercial interruption, this Kindle brought to you by Amazon.
Your book now has commercials in it.
You saved $25.
$25.
But you know, this is one of those things we were talking the other day about. A lot of people expect the whole internet to be free.
You mean it isn't?
And so there's ways that you can make it closer to free, and here's an example that you've got to pay for it somewhere.
Come on. I mean, make it $49 so that a bazillion people get it and the advertising has relevance, right. Not $20 and people going, what, are you nuts?
Yeah, because to me, that's not a game changer. If I was considering buying a Kindle, I already have my iPad. I'll just download the Kindle app. It's free. And I'm not going to spend the money on it.
Maybe they'll pay you $25 to download the Kindle app if you watch commercials.
Well, here's the deal too, Spanky, Apple fanboy.
Yes.
You're not the target market.
Who is the target market of a Kindle? I don't like the way they look.
The people that look at iPads and go, that's too complicated.
Now, there is the screen on those things, the fact that it's the, what do they call it, e-paper, whatever.
Yeah.
Looking at those screens, you could sit and read 15 chapters without like eye strain and without craziness. If you only care about books,
yeah,
it's pretty cool. But
and you can read it in the sun, and it's a fraction of the size and weight of an iPad, so you can actually hold it for long periods of
time.
Next
time you want to read a book at the beach rather than stare at the girls, then that's your device.
That would be never.
That's right. What the iPad 2 is good for. You can pretend like you're reading a book.
Now,
what
I'm seeing though is that they're going to start offering. So for that $25 savings, they're going to offer me discounts and coupons and promotional stuff like $10 gift cards and $20 gift cards. I just don't know that that's a significant enough savings that I'm going to go out and buy one.
Okay, here's what happens: all those executives are in this bubble, and they're going, "Look at all those people that opt into those email lists, right? As if that's real."
Yeah, no one opts in. It's an accidental opt-in.
Yeah, we tricked you into opting in.
It was next. Agreed.
Which is what you do on iTunes.
Crap. Look at those stupid toolbars I have.
I mean, are we out of our minds? Let us know. If you think that $25 is worth the advertising, let us know on our Facebook page.
It's facebook.com/datadoctors, and you can tell us if you're going to go out and buy yourself one of those discounted Kindles. I just don't think that they're worth it.
It's discounted for a price.
Yeah, but it's, man, again, $25. It's just not money well spent.
Yeah,
you know, for a device that I can buy it for $25 more without the commercials, without the advertising in it. I don't know that I would necessarily want to spend the money.
Are they having trouble selling it? I mean, it's got to be. They're just dumping these things.
I got to assume that the iPad and then the Motorola Zoom and all the other devices that are out there are causing Amazon some deep, deep pain in this area. And that's why they're suddenly going, okay, we're going to go ahead and do this and give people this great incentive
right.
to go buy our product.
Well, and maybe the fear is, okay, the playbook's coming out from BlackBerry, right? What's that going to do? What's next? What's next? What's next? I mean, with all these people coming out with 85 different tablets coming out this year. So, I mean, if I'm over at Amazon, I'm going, yeah, we better try to grab market share.
Yeah, I don't get it. Hey, still ahead, Apple is pulling the plug on something big.
It's a good thing.
It is a great thing. And Charlie Chaplin is making a comeback. We'll tell you about a great app you want to download for your iPhone or iPad.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Remember, all the great stuff we talk about is easily found anytime online, datadoctors.com/radio.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, anybody here like cables all over the place?
Oh, love them. Have them strung. I've got like 15 of them to my left right now.
And isn't it the one thing that makes moms and wives in our lives just love technology is all those cables?
Yeah, Allison said to me the other day, she says, could we please put all the cables and technology in your office so that it's not strewn all over the house? And yeah. We can do that a little bit more these days. More and more devices are becoming untethered or unplugged.
If they could figure out wireless power, we'd be so there.
Oh, my God.
Well, they have it. It's just not. Yeah.
It's just not perfectly wireless.
Well, that and it makes you sterile. oh, wait. Don't walk there.
Speak for yourself. Anyway, Apple has got a major plan. Of course, Apple's leading the charge. They do on all these cool things.
Fanboy.
I know. Apple is trying to cut the cord.
Because nobody else could figure out how to get rid of the stupid sink. Yeah.
No. They couldn't.
Okay.
Apple's leading the way once again.
Go ahead.
Remember, if it wasn't for Apple, iTunes wouldn't exist. MP3s wouldn't be as cool as they are.
The world would have stopped spinning, blah, blah, blah.
Yep, yeah. Yep. By the way,
so what's Apple
stock,
doing?
Apple stock looking to go to 450.
No, it would have been a Zune world.
Yeah, right. Apple is finally looking to unplug the world from USB. They're actually looking to get rid of the cables, cut the cord, and make syncing over your mobile device, your computer, your iPod, all wireless.
No more feature connector?
No more feature connector. You can just literally, you buy a song, it syncs across all your devices. There's no plugging in.
Smart.
It's about there,
see, hang on.
Some of us have had some of this for a while. Like you know, my iPhone's hooked up to our Exchange server, so my calendar and my contacts and my emails all stay in sync and everything's cool. It's all over the air. You want to get music onto it, and you have to go to this old cable and plug the thing. Really?
And it's stupid because when you want to share, like, so for me, I have certain playlists that I like, certain music. I would love to be able to access those lists while I'm here at the office, but I can't because I'm not near my home computer where all the songs were purchased, and I have to then tether to it. It's kind of a dumb setup.
And how about the dumb thing where you purchase the song on the device? And then you want to get it on your PC, and the only way to do it makes you think you're going to lose everything.
Right, because you have to backwards sync it to get it onto the computer.
So let me, just so I understand, fanboy.
Yes.
You're saying that Apple is going to achieve this so that the music is all seamless and all that?
So what they're doing is they're really just in a big push right now to make the next generation of iPods.
Yeah, I got bad news for you, fanboy. Huh. You know the BlackBerry playbook that's about to come out?
Yeah.
That's one of the big features that it's already got.
Yeah. Apple's leading the way.
Great, except it's on RIM, Research in Motion.
Yeah, BlackBerry.
Yeah, so what?
Well,
you started this with saying they're leading the way.
Of course, they're leading the way.
They're leading by following somebody else.
They're leading the way in the world of the things that everybody uses.
Apple does what it always does. It steals somebody else's idea.
Yeah, and Windows is a direct knockoff of Apple's operating system.
Who got it from Xerox PARC?
Whatever.
You want to go toe-to-toe on this?
Hey, don't make me jump in here and separate you two.
Don't be a hater.
To your corner, you go to yours.
Where did Apple get its mouse idea? Xerox PARC.
Whatever. How's Xerox stock looking these days?
Hey, you know what?
Huh? They make paper and copy machines.
Speaking of old school, how about Charlie Chaplin?
What does Charlie Chaplin have to do with USB and Apple and unplugging and
absolutely
them being originators of everything?
Nothing, but it does have something to do with old school.
Wait a minute. Apple invented silent movies.
Xerox might have it as well. Those of you that engage with us on our Facebook page saw a couple days ago a little teaser video and said, hey, you're going to have to listen to the show. You're going to have to subscribe to the newsletter to be able to figure out how to do this. And it's one of the coolest camera apps I've seen in a long time. Works on iPhones and iPad 2s with the camera. Basically what it does is it allows you to take any video and turn it into a 1920s silent movie with the piano line and the whole shot.
So Ken Winton, you saw, or if you haven't seen, datadoctors.com/radio has the links to our Facebook fan page, and there you'll see the video. And I guess we have the sound for it.
So that's what a silent movie sounds like.
So he went and shot this, and I'm thinking this was like a major production. I know Ken well enough to know it couldn't have been more than 10 minutes because...
12 and a half, exactly.
Right. But my favorite part, you keep watching, Ben waving frantically.
Waving frantically in the store, and he looks just so goofy.
That took three takes. I had to be a director there. No, but the cool thing is, I was talking to somebody last night that's actually in video production, and I said, just out of curiosity, if I went to an agency and said, I want to create this cool commercial, looks like a 20 silent movie, what do you think that would cost? And they go, $5,000 to $10,000.
Oh, yeah.
How much is the app?
99 cents.
Yeah.
And if you want the director's version, the one that allows you to do really elaborate things like title screens and everything, it's $1.98. It's another 99 cents.
And you know what? It's a very easy app to use. So kids would have fun playing with it on the iPhone or the iPad.
I think Brandon said it. It's Ken-proof.
It is. It is. If you can operate it.
He's got to be able to have the idea and execute the idea all inside 15 minutes, and he was able to, so it gets the Ken seal of approval.
No-brainer, folks. If you've got an iPad 2 or an iPhone, go get this app. You'll love it.
It is the app to settle on. And speaking of settling.
Settling or not settling.
Or speaking of not settling.
Wow, we're rolling with the whole segues today.
Yeah, the Winklevi.
Winklevies.
If you've seen the Facebook movie, what was the name?
The Social Network.
Social Network, yes. That's right. You remember those two big, studly, handsome twin boys?
The rowers?
The guys that invented Facebook?
They invented Facebook, and they got screwed.
Yeah, get in line with Al Gore.
Yes, who invented the internet, for those of you who don't know.
So their settlement, $65 million, seems like a lot of dough.
Nah.
Not to them.
Put it in context.
Yeah. A company that's worth billions.
$1 billion.
Yeah, so they got hosed, and the judge said, nope, that's your settlement, and be happy with it. $65 million.
But hang on, there's two of them.
Yeah.
So that's after taxes.
Yeah, so what is the after tax amount that these dudes are going to walk away with?
I think just kind
half of half.
Half of half. Yeah, I mean, so they'll make
a measly $15 million each.
Yeah, that would totally suck to be them.
You know what? I'd go for the extra gusto as well.
But in comparison, right? By the way, that movie, why is it that all dudes like the movie, hate the movie?
Yeah,
my wife was like, oh, that movie's so dumb. And I'm like, I was thinking that was a really good movie. I kind of want to buy it.
I did too. It was like, because it was a little geeky, but not super geeky.
No, it was pretty geeky.
There was drinking.
Yeah.
And there were women.
Yeah.
Yeah. Objectifying and drinking.
It was like Animal House.
Gosh, why can't the women get into this movie?
Like extra nerd overload, because there was the whole fraternity and the book club and come on.
Yeah, it was goofy, but it was fun. My wife didn't like it either. She was just like,
you know what? If you haven't seen it and you're a Facebook fan, you have to see it.
You know what the ladies did like? Justin Timberlake.
Yes.
And speaking of Facebook, Ken, how's your memory doing these days?
What?
Huh?
Talking to me?
Yeah.
Turns out I need to use Facebook more often.
Your name is Ken, by the way.
Ken, yes. Or the other Ken.
Right.
Yes.
Ken squared.
And my other brother, Daryl.
Why do you have to use Facebook more?
It turns out there's a study that's shown that Facebook can help stave off memory loss in the elderly.
I wonder if that's why my mom uses it.
Kenny!
The elderly? Are you now considered the elderly?
What is the elderly?
How do I switch this on the Facebook?
Have you been contacted by AARP yet?
I have.
I tried to
really? Call. I got a piece of mail from them, and I was like, am I that old?
Yeah, no, it happens. They start early. I tried to call you on the email.
On the email. On the Facebook.
I downloaded you an email.
You know, it's like anything else. If you do puzzles, if you do anything that causes the mind to kind of stay stimulated, the point is that Facebook allows you to connect with people with very similar backgrounds, interests, that kind of thing. So it kind of keeps the mind going. I mean, it's one of the reasons why a lot of folks like to work past their retirement years, is it keeps their mind active. So it turns out Facebook is a place for you to get in your rocking chair and keep it real.
You know what? It's funny.
Keep it real.
I can just see Granny keeping it real. The thing about Facebook, though, that's, I think, for my parents, and so I have a mom who's getting close to 70. I've got a dad who's in the late 60s as well. It really helps them connect with their youth, because you're suddenly able to connect with friends that you haven't talked to in years.
Yeah.
It keeps those connections active for years and years.
Well, speaking of which, later on in the show, we'll have a little terminology that talks about staying active, maybe not in the best way. And Facebook's really helping out with that, huh?
It's a whole different kind of active.
Something like that.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff. Hey, if you've got any questions or comments for the show, have a technology issue you need help with, it's easy to talk to us anytime. Just hit us up at facebook.com/datadoctors and post it to the wall. It's Ken, Brandon, and Mac Fanboy on the Data Doctors Radio program.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
Have you ever lost it? We'll tell you why keeping your cool could save your digital life.
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors Radio Program.
But before we get to that, how about those teachers in Canada?
Eh?
Eh?
Take off, hoser.
No, we had an argument. It's Canuck.
Canuck.
Canuck. Canuck.
Well, there's a team called the Canucks.
No, a Canuck. A Canuck is where you store your books at
home.
Oh,
it's a Canuck.
A Canuck is a Canadian, eh?
Yes. Hoser.
Well.
Hoser.
Turns out the teachers in Canada don't get to be that social.
Bang what? On, by the way. They say that for right on.
Bang on?
Bang on. I've been on many a conference call with Canadians and bang on. And the first time I heard it, I'm like, huh? That means right on.
Well,
on.
Apparently right on. That's one of the reasons why there's no Facebook interaction between teachers and students in Canada.
It's antisocial.
Well, no, I think it's one of those, we don't know how to manage this, so let's just turn it off.
Why do they have to manage it?
Because of all of the horror stories they've heard about teachers and students and having all of those. Is that one of those teachers? All of those, you know, inappropriate discussions or teachers exposing things about their personal life that the students shouldn't see. I mean, all those things we've heard, right?
Yeah.
It's like the internet is full of predators.
Yeah,
no,
except it's not.
It's
but
not.
I mean, is this any different than any work environment? I mean, here, right? So most of everybody that's here, we're friends with each other, and it's kind of cool. We get a good insight into what people are doing and what's going on, and I think most of them are smart enough to create groups, and when they're out partying, you and I don't know about it, and that's just fine. And, I mean, teachers, I mean, can't this work like any other work environment where they have a little bit of thought and responsibility?
And I kind of like the idea of teachers having that social interaction with their students because where I went to school, where I finished high school, was in another country, and the relationships there between teachers and students was much more personal. Teachers would come over for parties, and they would be a part of that.
Well, you know, here in real-world terms, here's where this is a really bad idea for the Canadians. In my situation, I've got a 17-year-old son connected with various teachers at the school, also connected to my wife, who's connected to the teachers. Who's connected to my son, right?
Why is this bad?
That's a win.
No, it's a huge win because when things happen, it's not as out of the blue because there's this ongoing dialogue and discussion about what's going on in life. So, you know, being tardy, being late, sick, a little down, that kind of stuff, those kinds of discussions. We just had a medical diagnosis done on my son that explained a behavior that the teacher said, you know what? So this discussion's happening through Facebook, which normally it would be a teacher-parent conference, 6 months from now?
Right. You have a meeting.
And the details.
Call it.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a real-time parent-teacher conference with a child involved. It's the coolest thing ever from my perspective.
There's only like three components in that whole education process, right? The student, which, you know, they can do all they can do, but if the parents and the teachers aren't plugged in, then it doesn't matter. The teacher can only do so much. This brings all that together.
It kind of bridges all those gaps. And,
yeah.
and you know, if you're trying to protect students from predatory teachers, they shouldn't be teachers to begin with.
Right. I mean, if you're going to let your kids be on Facebook at whatever age you decide that's appropriate, then the teachers should be probably the least of your concerns, even though there's stories out there. There's stories because nobody can believe it's happened.
This is underscoring the situation we're in all over the world in business and homes. The people that make the decisions don't get what's going on, and the people that get what's going on don't make the decisions. This is going to change, and when these gaps are filled, this kind of crazy, you know, these decisions that are made that you really don't think about the bigger picture, they're just going to continue.
Yeah, and for the educational system to put up a wall and say you can't interact with those students outside of school.
In the way that they're used to
interacting. Exactly. Because it's a social interaction at school.
In the early days of the telephone, you may not use the telephone. Oh, Canada, you got it wrong. Get it right.
They are dumb.
Warfront from the storefront. Actual stories from Data Doctor's locations around the country.
It's the new feature everyone's talking about here on the Data Doctor's radio program, Warfront from the Storefront. This week, Store 369 in Indianapolis, Indiana, or Carmel.
Carmel.
Carmel. Yes, Carmel.
Not that's Carmel.
Like, I said Carmel or Carmel Caramel.
Carmel by the sea.
I got smacked for that the other day.
Yeah, it's Carmel.
It's called a total loss. It's when you have data on something and you lose it. A frantic mom came running into the store.
I don't know if it was running.
Well, she was walking.
Skipping.
She was in good shape, from what I hear.
It was like three
she
inch
was a
heels.
Runner.
3-inch heels.
Right? Running in 3-inch heels.
Right.
And seven jeans. So the store said. She lost all of her home movies. They were on a memory card on her video camera, and someone accidentally erased the card. It was a total accident, nothing you know, intentional or malicious, but she did the smart thing. Instead of trying to solve the problem herself, which would have caused more grief, she came into Data Doctors.
Well, I mean, here's where that grief comes. There are lots of people out there professing that they have programs that can resurrect these things. And in the hands of somebody that knows how to use these programs, it's certainly possible to get this stuff back. The problem is, once you start playing around with a piece of software that tries to make changes to any kind of memory device, whether it's a camera card or hard drive, whatever it is, it alters what's there. And if it's done improperly, not only do you not get the stuff you want, you basically made it impossible for pros to get it.
Okay,
that's the key part.
So let me de-geekify this a little bit for you, because I think the way that you as a consumer, as a listener, can understand this is if you crack an egg into a bowl and you leave it very carefully cracked, it's the yolk sitting on top of the white part, so it's all nice, and you can separate those two pieces easily.
Right.
When you put a fork in it and go and you scramble it up, it is virtually irretrievable. You can't put the yolk back into the nice little yolk sac and the egg white into the... It is now just this kind of globulous mess of...
But there's some scientist somewhere that could figure out how to separate that junk back out.
Probably works for Apple.
Yeah.
Actually, they invented the egg and the chicken now?
So, yes, he did. We have had a couple of these instances before where our data recovery specialists have come in and saved the day. We have a lab full of really super smart techie guys who... Their whole world revolves around...
Yeah, my favorite video recovery was the fireman that went to Mount Everest.
Oh, great story.
Yeah, yeah.
Great story.
He had a... well, when you go that high, you can't use a hard drive-based video camera and you can't use a tape-based. So he used a card-based, which was a Sony camcorder, the specialized Sony memory, super SD cards or whatever they call them, went up, shot this amazing video on a day where... There were no clouds. I mean, he was climbing the summit. It was
and
clear.
On Everest to have no clouds?
That's a once-in-a-lifetime situation. So as he's coming back down, this camera crew from a South American television place saw this thing and basically destroyed it. And he took it to two or three different camera places that said, we can do data recovery, which they couldn't. Brought it to us. We got it all. And this video is spectacular. It's on our Facebook page, actually.
Yeah, yeah. In the video section, facebook.com/datadoctors. Just look over, click on videos, and we put that there. Of course, we got permission and stuff to do it. It's a great example of, it's cool, a video of Everest, but a great example of bringing something back from the dead.
And, you know, we will repost a more current link so to help people get to it easily. It's pretty slick. You know, the one thing to do is remember, don't panic when you lose that data. Stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah, or call somebody just to understand what your options are before you start messing things up.
Still ahead, tag. You're it.
Wait, I'm not playing that game.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
We all know parking sucks, but did you know that there's an app that makes it suck less?
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors Radio Program.
Hey, who here has not been tagged on Facebook?
I've been tagged.
Happens all the time, right?
I've been
poked, and I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what poking is. It sounds dirty, though.
They got rid of it because it's pointless. It's almost like, hey, how's it going?
Well, how did it make it in the first place?
How do you go from poking, which is just a wall post, basically, that nobody else sees?
It's not a wall post. It's just a you got poked by whatever. That's it.
Which is useless.
Sorry I hijacked your tagging.
That's okay. It's I think everybody on Facebook's collectively saying it's stupid, and that's why it really isn't prominent anymore. But tagging is a very common way to say, hey, I just posted a picture of you, whatever. So the spammers have figured out, since tagging is what causes people to go, ooh, I want to go see the picture I got tagged in, a great way to start spamming people on Facebook.
But what do they get out of it?
Well, here's how it works. First, what they want to do is hijack your Facebook account.
Okay.
I get why they want to do that.
Okay.
Right, so they can act like they're you. And then they post something on your wall, and basically they tag everybody in your contact list.
Okay.
Right? To say, hey, you're in this picture. When you get there, there's no picture. There's nobody else in there. And there's this humongous list of people that were tagged. And then there's a link at the bottom, nondescript link.
And check then out this everybody hilarious clicks thing. The link.
Everybody clicks the link. They're going, what the heck is this?
And they get infected.
Well, they don't necessarily get infected.
Now they hijack your account and do it to other
Well, no. This is pure spam. So now you get the Viagra ad.
Okay, got it.
So it's all about spamming.
Dang, that's a lot of work to get a Viagra ad.
So, yeah, I mean, it's they're taking advantage of the popularity of tagging. So the key indications are, when you get tagged and you go to look at the image, first of all, when there's actually no people in it, or if there's nobody you recognize in it, and there's this huge clump of people being tagged, big red flag.
Can I ask a dumb question here?
Sure.
So a couple months ago, you were, I guess, having dinner or something like that, and you took a picture of a glass of wine, and you tagged
me,
Fanboy, and I.
Yes.
And I don't get it. Obviously, I'm not in the picture.
Yeah, I was trying to educate you if you read the caption.
I read the caption, but I didn't understand the tagging. Was that a way to tell me, hey, this is for you to get educated?
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you just post that to my wall?
Because I can tag you both instantaneously instead of having to go to each of your walls.
But now, in my photos, when somebody's viewing it, I've been tagged, and it's a picture of wine, and they're going, huh? It just seemed odd.
Listen.
There was a disconnect. But this spamming tag thing just happened to my wife a couple of days ago, where the exact same thing.
Was there a glass of wine?
No, but there was this hot chick in the photo, and it was tagged as my wife. Now, granted, my wife is gorgeous.
Yes.
But my wife doesn't show her body parts on Facebook, and this
Maybe
girl
not
did.
Not to you.
Did you want the link?
Thank you. No, so this happened to my wife, and she's like, who is this person? And she had a hard time getting rid of her, but I figured out how to do it because...
You've heard the song Allison, right?
Yes, I have. Thank you.
Yeah.
Allison?
Elvis Costello? Allison, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about Allison Road?
I think you guys are going to have to bring it up a little for me.
Spamvertise alert, another one. Spamvertising is a spam message. It kind of looks like an advertisement, or really looks like a... Hey, you tried to work. This particular one is like, hey, your request's been rejected, and if you want to know why, you know, open this up, and we're sorry we couldn't accept your request. And you're like,
what request?
What did I request?
Yeah, I never request. And you know, sometimes you get those from UPS or DHL that the delivery has failed of a package.
Right. I didn't ship anything.
And I'm like, oh, was I supposed to get something? Did I forget that I ordered something?
Yeah, and all you do is open this zip file and then print this thing.
Right.
Yeah.
As soon as you see a zip file, run the other way.
Well, zip or... Well, see what they're doing, though, if you look very cleverly at it. It's filename.pdf.zip because some machines hide the file extension of known file types. So it appears as a PDF file on the screen. So they're being very clever. They're using social engineering to trick people into these crazy, crazy ideas that somebody is trying to communicate with me, and I must see what they're saying.
Very slick.
It's not logical.
Now, guys, in the area of the country that we're in, traffic has gotten a lot worse. You would agree in the last 15, 20 years?
Well, here's where we really notice it, is we just opened our store downtown. We're now in downtown Phoenix. So now we're getting that whole urban thing of... don't go downtown unless you got quarters.
Yeah, because it's hard to park.
Well, and who wants to give you change?
And can't they just put a dang swipe thing on that for me, please? Thank
you. Wouldn't that be awesome if you can just swipe your card and go and you're there as long as you
want
to be?
Yeah, you go to L.A. if you want that.
So Ken was surfing the web and found a great app or a great piece of technology that they're using in some other cities, and it's basically smart parking technology.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're putting those little dots and things you see in the road, they're actually starting to put these sensors all over these urban areas. So they can literally tell when the parking lot's open or closed and report it back to an application, right? So you can have an app on your phone. It'll show you where all the open parking spots are.
So if you're cruising around a downtown area and you're looking for a parking space, you have your app in your hand.
Oh, no. Wait a minute. Distracted driving?
You're driving really slow.
No, you don't have. You don't do it that way.
But we all do.
No. You go, okay, there's an open spot around the corner. You put the phone down. You drive to it. And when you get there and it's filled.
And then you pick the app up and you do it again. So when you say the little dots, are you talking about those little white reflectors and blue reflectors
on
the street?
Well, that's one of the ways that they're using smart cities.
Okay.
But these are actually some kind of pressure-sensitive device in the parking space, right? And then the meters themselves, you were talking about being able to pay with your smartphone. That's exactly what they're doing in Los Angeles. You can actually use your smartphone to make the payment. Now, dun, 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 the downside.
The man will know where I'm at.
It's worser than that.
Worser?
Big brother.
Yes. They'll know when the parking meter expired. You know how sometimes you have Fudge Factory, you can run out there?
Oh.
Yeah.
And because you paid with your smartphone, bing! Automatical.
Puts the brownies out of business. In New York, they're called brownies. The parking meter people, they're called brownies because they wear brown uniforms.
Well, that's one downside, right? So we've just eliminated another human position. Two, it's almost like the float in banking.
Right.
That used to be a
I can write the check even though I don't have the cash today because by the time it's cashed and put through, I've got
I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today.
So the float in parking where you just need another minute and you don't want to spend another 15 minutes worth of coin, or actually you don't want to run back out to the meter for 1 minute, right?
If you could re-up from your phone, then we'd be okay.
Well, I think that'll be the next, but see, the thing is, as soon as they make this really easy for you not to get a fine, they just killed off a revenue stream that they're not going to kill off. They're always going to make it so that there's those penalty revenues, because that's like much bigger than, you know, what's it cost you to park for an hour? $1?
Yeah.
What's it cost you if you get violated or violation?
30, 40, 50 bucks.
They're not going to get rid of that.
No, that's going to just go up.
If there was less people sneak parking, right? If everybody was paying to park,
sure,
it might equalize, and it might even overtake the penalty park, right?
Now,
so one of the alternatives is not to use the city-sponsored stuff. It is to use what's called a crowdsourcing parking system. So we're lucky we don't have that urban situation. But if you're in an urban area, you start looking for some of these crowdsourcing apps where you're actually working with other people. There's one called Rodify, where you're working with other people that are in that area that are reporting that I'm just leaving this space. Some of them actually automatically, if you have the app open, it's automatically kind of reporting this information. So
can you
cool.
imagine pulling up to a meter, though, and having it report that you didn't put your money in? Like if you're sitting there for 30 seconds or a minute and they automatically come over, and if you do your credit card and then you run out of money, they can like automatically bill your credit card
card. And then you get hit for the bank for not having enough money in your.
Wow, that's
it
brutal.
Cost me $400 to park.
All the links to all the cool stuff, including the parking app, all available anytime at datadoctors.com/radio.
This is the Data Doctors,
Data Doctors Radio
program. Live from Data Doctors HQ.
This is the Data Doctors radio program, delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
Free is for me, and I'll take three.
And the government is here to help.
Ish. Hey, more is better, but how unlimited is unlimited? It's all coming up.
Delivering tech knowledge for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
So everybody likes free, right? You said you want three?
Free is the best, isn't it?
Three rhymed with free.
Well, I mean, let's take a look at the historical perspective of free when it comes to the computer world, right? The whole internet and technology.
I love free. I mean, isn't everything free on the internet?
Well, I mean, we started out, I mean, look at Napster.
Yeah.
That was kind of the real first...
Free music.
Well, what it did is it broke down the old business models, right? by providing something for free that normally people were used to paying for, right? Prior to that, people were more than willing to pay for music, and then we had this stretch in history that there was that period of time when nobody wanted to pay for music anymore.
The Dark Ages.
Well, I think people started to realize, well, if nobody pays for music anywhere other than the first person that buys a CD and then shares it on Napster,
nobody's going to make any good music, right?
Well, then, yeah, what's the motivation for your musician to go out and make music? And so
zero.
We went
well,
through.
Well, wait a minute. There is a motivation being a rock star. You've seen the groupies.
Yeah, but groupies are motivation.
But you got to have the money from the record sales to be able to get on the tour to be able to get the groupies.
And maybe the groupies are all about the money anyway. So maybe we still need to sell records. Okay.
I mean, it all comes down to money, right?
Right.
So, I mean, it took a while. And, of course, the record industry didn't like the solution because the power in selling music shifted from them to the internet and companies like Apple.
Right.
But we now have a business. We have a monetization of music that makes sense.
And video.
And video. And but we saw the same thing with video. Nobody wanted to pay for video for a while because you get the stuff for free and what have you. So we're back and forth on this stuff. And the various paywalls that are going up, these new business models around content, everyone out there needs to realize we need to embrace these things if we want quality content for down the road.
Right, because otherwise the good stuff's going to go away.
Well, yeah, you cannot sustain high quality anything for free for forever.
Or the good stuff gets watered down like the $25 Kindle.
Right.
That comes slightly with commercials in the middle of your reading your book.
Yeah.
Turn the page. Oh, wait, commercial.
But then you've got places like Hulu, who I think do an excellent job of making you, the consumer, not have to pay to watch the content that you want, but you have to bear through the commercial.
Well, but they're like a lot of these out there, that there's a freemium thing. There's a free and you get a lot of stuff, but it's, you know, it's a little bit limited. You can't watch every episode of everything you care about. You may not get it as early. There's commercials there, but the commercials are more relevant than broadcast TV. Or they have a Hulu Plus you pay and you get a different experience, a better experience.
Yeah. See, I like Hulu. Hulu, to me, Hulu is the future of delivery for television, when I say television, for the stuff we like to watch. Because really, TV stations and channels and networks, they want you to pay for, as Ken says, the pipeline versus the content. I don't watch all the channels that I have. I have satellite.
But your cable bill or your DirecTV bill has
enormous.
To pay for all of those other pipelines that you don't care about.
So this is really cool, though, because people – so I wonder if we could pull the plug on cable and satellite by watching Hulu.
I know people who have pulled the plug, and they did it years ago before Hulu, but Hulu makes it easy for Joe Consumer to do it.
I nominate the Moskowitz House to experiment with, can you unplug successfully and still get the stuff you
want? I'll do it.
If we had four Hulu boxes in my home.
Well, you need a Hulu box.
Roku box.
Roku box. Sorry, I said Hulu box. Roku boxes in my home.
Wait, is this coming from Apple Fanboy?
Yeah. Well, the Apple TV doesn't do a couple.
Oh, wait a minute. Apple's not doing it better?
Oh, they're leading the way, Ken.
Not in terms of TV.
With one service that you can
use. 720p sucks. 1080, boys. Although the Apple stock is looking great. Apple TV doesn't do...
Who are you talking to?
Apple TV. I'm talking to my friends at Apple. Oh, they listen.
That's his fallback to everything. Apple stock's doing
They're
great.
Leading the way with yesterday's
Yesterday's
HD.
Technology today. But no, four Roku boxes and a Hulu Plus subscription gives me all the stuff we want to watch on Food Network, HGTV. It gives me previous last season's Dexter, which is a Showtime show. And I'm paying, what, $7.95 a month?
Well, plus you got to buy Roku boxes at $100 a piece.
Well, and I made the comment last week, and I enforced it yesterday in our meeting, that Hulu was irrelevant.
Hulu is not irrelevant.
No, and the reason I said that was the last time, and I'm saying this for everybody listening, the last time I went to Hulu, it was irrelevant because at the time there was no Hulu Plus. There was very limited content, and it was all old. And because it's an ABC, NBC, who's the third?
CBS?
And
no,
Fox?
No, CBS
Fox.
Is not part of this.
Oh,
Fox,
that's right.
Fox. CBS is out wherever. So if you want to watch those old Two Men and a Kid or whatever it's called.
Whatever's on CBS.
Well, the old Charlie Sheen stuff, you can't do it on Hulu.
Yeah.
You can do that on every other network.
Every other network, right. But you can watch all this Hulu stuff now, and man, they're hitting people with commercials at a rate just leaps and bounds above everyone else. 1.2 billion, with a B, commercials reviewed on Hulu last month. That is a buttload of commercials. So if your product or service isn't getting in front of the consumer in traditional ways, they're going to get in front of them on Hulu.
And they've solved another problem. If you're advertising on TV right now, anybody who has DVRs is fast forwarding past all your commercials that you paid big money to have, right? And so the audience you think you're advertising to, a good chunk of them aren't getting it. In the Hulu world, from a consumer side, it's maybe a downfall, but for a I'm an advertiser, there's a win. You can't fast forward those commercials.
So here's the real future of this, right? The Hulu subscription services,
mm-hmm.
think about the profile information on Facebook and how much information there is.
Right.
Connecting that with something like this where they know not only did you watch the commercial, how many kids are in your household, are you married, all those things. So the future of advertising is very strong, and folks, that's how we're going to pay for this stuff.
And I'll never have to sit through a Monistat commercial again.
Oh,
they have that little, is this relevant to you in the upper right?
Right, and if it's not relevant to me, it's not relevant to me, period. From my hand, why don't people understand my hate. From my heart and sure. From my
hand, back up.
I'm going to edit this. From my heart and from my hand,
why don't people understand my intention? It's that time of the show when we bring a little portion of the tech vernacular to the show, where we try to educate you a little bit on some of the terminology floating around out there, A, so that you can really sound cool at that next cocktail party.
That's really the only reason.
No.
Called Geek Speak of the Week.
And there's also that situation when somebody uses the term and you don't want to sound like, well, I don't know what that means. This one's kind of relevant this week because of the statistics that have come out for being retrosexual.
Now, that's not a guy who dresses in really stylish clothing.
No, that would be a metrosexual.
Okay, right. Just making sure.
That's Clayton.
Yes.
He's okay with me saying it.
Data recovery.
a lot of people listening to this show have become retrosexual without knowing it. Yes, you.
Me?
That are looking up your old flames on Facebook.
Well, I want to see what she's doing.
How is that retrosexual?
No. But you're doing more than just looking them up.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at pictures of them. I want to see if they held up or if they fell apart.
No, you're doing more than that.
Yeah, I'm looking maybe at their kids to see, gosh, what happened? Did they produce offspring that look decent? Or
I want to see
reach
if they're
out
hot or
and
not.
Touch someone.
Oh, come on. That's not
yeah,
what
I'm
people
saying hi.
Of course.
Whatever, dude.
It's high school reunion.
The reality is the data suggests.
The data are suggesting?
The data are suggesting again.
All your data are belong to us.
There are a large number of people that are going retrosexual on Facebook because it's so easy to connect with those old flames, right? I mean, in the pre-Facebook world, it was like, oh, I wonder where they are.
But connect by stalking and snooping or physically like...
No, they're like meeting and meeting up and it's happening in pretty large numbers.
Would that be called a Facebook hookup?
Well, the thing is, let's go 5 years from now. Let's go back and look at the divorce rate. It's already pretty high, right?
Yeah.
50%. Is the Facebook effect going to be that it goes from 50% to 75?
But if you were going to cheat, you were going to cheat. I mean, really, just because the tool there makes it a little easier. I think
Chris Rock had it. You're only as faithful as your options, and Facebook is creating a lot of options for people that are looking to be unfaithful.
Hey, still ahead, we've got some cool video gadgets and a way to socially share. And if you have any questions for the show, you can always hop on our wall, facebook.com.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
/Data Doctors.
Remember, you can grab all the links to everything we talk about, datadoctors.com/radio.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
So yesterday I was cruising around.
And with the top down?
Top down. Oh, look at that. That is top. That is.
Like a Southwest Airlines jet.
Oh, that's not very appealing.
I saw this whole internet world now is driven by headlines, right? Just like the old newspaper world.
Absolutely.
Old newspaper world.
So this show's driven by headlines.
I saw a headline that said flipbook for videos. Because I love the flipbook app.
The flipbook app is killer.
It's got to be one of the best apps ever made for the iPad.
Yeah, no, it is. Right? It is by far the best aggregator of content. That's a really cool way of
who's
seeing
stuff. Who's a fanboy now?
Part of my advice column later on the show. But now, so when I saw that, I thought, interesting, I'm going to go check this out. And then add that, you know, the Asian guy sees Shoyu.
Shoyu.
Yeah. Me Shoyu.
Yeah. Let me show you.
No, no, no. Like Shoyu, right? Shoyu. Shoyu is how a lot of Japanese people talk about soy sauce. Soy sauce is actually called Shoyu.
Shoyu.
Shoyu. Oh. So he thought the ad was actually about Shoyu, soy sauce. Yeah.
And what is free riri?
Free riri?
Free riri.
Free riri.
Free riri.
You have to add Ed
Zachary. It's a movie, right?
Ed Zachary.
God, the email and Facebooks we're going to get this week.
Send him to the Asian guy.
That's Ken.
Shoyu at first I was expecting it to be just like Flipbook, where all the videos that are being indexed, I just flip through them.
And that's what I thought, too.
So the first thing was, okay, you're pitching it wrong because it's nothing like Flipbook. From the user experience, it's certainly from an aggregator, it does a great job. The cool thing is you can set this app up so that only videos that your social networking friends have posted show up, right? So it's actually taking, instead of everything that's happening in social, it just takes the videos.
I'm so confused. First, yesterday you told me you hated this thing.
Yeah, because it was awful yesterday.
Yeah, because yesterday all I could see was what the whole world was talking about, because it hadn't indexed my social networks yet.
Okay, so let me back up.
I opened it back up this morning, and it's like, there it is. So just my peoples.
You install it, and you can set it to go grab only videos that your friends are watching, viewing, sharing, posting, whatevering. Right?
Yeah, there's three settings. One, the whole world, whatever they're indexing. The second is all your social networks. So you can decide, I only want my Facebook videos.
So you have to hook this up, obviously, with settings
right.
to the
You create
Twitter
an account. It's all free and all that
sure.
stuff. And then you can actually start your own. Of course, they're trying to start their own network of show you friends.
See, so yesterday what we saw in the early phase was the cluster bomb of the entire internet and all the video content that was being pushed across the internet. Once it got pared down to your friends.
Right.
Now it's just showing the
now
videos
it's valuable.
Your friends are...
Right,
otherwise,
it's
just this big... it's YouTube.
I'm no longer drinking from a fire hose of videos that I could care less about. These are now videos. And immediately, as soon as it came up in the social network site, these are people that I know in the videos. So they're relevant videos to me now.
So now when I put Show You on my iPad, I'll see the video you shot of the downtown store
ja.
As an aggregated piece of content. Aggregated is just a really high-tech word for pushing stuff to
only
you.
Only if he continues to be your friend on Facebook after
Correct.
The show.
Yeah, after the show. Well, I mean, you look at the 2 billion page views a day on YouTube, right? There's some ridiculous number of videos being uploaded every day. Wouldn't it be nice to have some sense of which ones you actually want to look at? And so this is another way to kind of weed through all that and just look at stuff that's relevant to you and your network.
So I just watch them all every day, so I'll tell you the good ones.
Okay, good. Yeah. And Facebook, you know, Facebook is where a lot of people are posting videos these days. They post a lot of stuff for you to see and share with your friends. But there was a study that just came out that was, again, talking about Facebook's privacy settings. And I think the numbers, these are something we have to talk about, because everyone that listens to the Data Doctors radio program, or at least 99% of them, are on Facebook.
No, somebody sent me an email the other day saying, do you guys still communicate this way? Because I refuse to be on Facebook,
What's an email? So
exactly.
The research tracked a bunch of students aged 18 to 25. And what percentage do you think of those students that they tracked found out that they were sharing information they didn't know about?
Like 95%.
Ken?
It had to be up there.
100%.
There was something that they didn't know.
Something right. that they didn't know that they were sharing unintentionally on Facebook because of Facebook's goofy settings again. And I think Facebook has to really, we've talked about this before, they have to address this issue. They have to simplify it a little bit and give people the control that they need so that they know what they're pushing out there.
Hey,
you know
Spank.
You know what they need? They need like a page you can go to that shows you all the different things, like a view, and maybe like a red. Well, see,
hey,
you can't
guys,
trust them to
guys,
be a red
guys,
yes.
I got the answer.
What's that?
There's an app for that.
And what's that app called?
Oh, we're going to deal with this later on in the show. That's actually, you're talking about something we're going to... So those of you concerned about this, there's actually a little tool we found that's free that will allow you to manage that.
You can lock down the privacy settings and figure out what you actually look like.
Well the big thing is you need to know what's going out there that you didn't realize shouldn't be going out there, which is what the point of that story was. I didn't realize my cell phone number is being displayed to the whole world.
Yeah, that's a big one.
That's
Why do
huge.
People put that in there?
They don't. You know what happens? All those mobile apps that you say agree to allow this to have whatever, you know, you say give access to this app. Because they're mobile apps, it ties to your mobile phone number.
Now, isn't that, though, what one of these, the Facebook privacy stuff, isn't that what the government's dealing with right now with the whole privacy bill? Isn't that what they're trying to address?
Yeah, they're trying to create privacy for everybody except them.
And they're so good at creating bills around technology because they don't get it.
Yeah, the government's here to help you, right?
So wait a second. So, oh, this is the one that John McCain is
Right. And John Kerry.
Right.
How's
two,
that for
two
for
old dudes that don't get it?
Yeah, John McCain tweets, by the way.
You're
it's
right.
Megan.
Yeah, sure.
Megan's doing it.
And the internet's a series of tubes.
No, it's the standard approach the government has. We want to protect our citizens from those evil corporations,
but
not from us.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm a big fan of that.
All you guys need this great health care. We're not going to opt into that, though.
I don't need the government, though, to protect my privacy when it comes to the internet. I can handle that myself.
Apparently not. 100% of people couldn't.
Well, we'll definitely keep our eye on this one because this will be interesting legislation if they get this through. This is just another wacky thing of people that don't understand what they're trying to legislate.
It's a government scam.
It is. Hey, how good are you at spotting scam emails?
I think I'm pretty good. I mean, I can, you know, if they're from Nigeria, I pretty much know.
Well, you remember we talked about last week the spear phishing that's coming. We warned everybody, look, this really sophisticated approach to tricking you with emails, it's called spear phishing. It's on its way. So we found a great link from ZDNet where they actually they post sample emails that they came up with for all these people that got breached by the Epsilon break-in and said, can you spot the scams? And so they're educating people very clearly on things like any major organization. Like if Disney sends you an email and it comes from a Hotmail account.
Disney, the one that's sitting across from me?
Yeah, no. I don't use Hotmail. So okay.
Disney Vacation says, hey, have we got a great deal for you? And you look at the from address and it's disneysomething@hotmail.com. People don't normally
look
at that.
They're a little
stuff.
More legit than that, guys.
You mean, do you think Disney actually has their own in Disney email?
Yeah, I tried to get Disney.com. Apparently, it was taken.
Well, the other thing is a lot of them say, if you'd like to make sure you get this mail in the future, put this, you know, click here so you can whitelist, you know, add this to your address book, that kind of thing. The minute you see that address they're trying to get whitelisted, which is probably a legitimate Disney address, is different than the sent from address, that's another big... So that's how minuscule these things are becoming. And, of course, anybody that asks you to validate your account, I don't care who it is, anybody asking you to validate your account, tell them to take a hike.
So if you get one of those emails, again, the smart thing to do is go to the real company's website.
Yeah.
Don't click on those goofy
links. Go
type
it yourself.
But
educate yourself. Click on this link on our datadoctors.com/radio page. It's a good one.
Got a question you need help with? Got a technology issue you're just dying to know what's up? You can post those questions anytime. Facebook.com/datadoctors. Just post it to the wall.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Is someone talking smack about you on Facebook? If so, how do you protect yourself?
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey, we had somebody post a question on our Facebook page last week.
Facebook.com/datadoctors.
Yeah. They are a brand new iPad owner, which apparently there are millions. Not 100,000.
It's only the best device ever.
I'm kind of a new iPad owner.
Yeah, like... 5 weeks?
Yeah, something like that. That's new.
So they were asking, what kind of apps should I download? What are the starters? There's only 350,000 apps. Why are they having a problem figuring out what to put on their iPad?
Oh, man, there's so many of them.
When I first got my iPhone, I went through the same thing. I didn't know where to start. It's overwhelming. And funny, when you get the iPad and you've already had the iPhone, then you sort of know where to begin because it's a lot of the same apps you pull in there because you want to do a lot of the same things.
You know,
but
there were only like 100 when I started.
100
apps.
Dude, you are a fanboy.
You are a leader.
You were like, Steve Jobs had an iPhone, then you.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
In fact, he gave me his hand-me-down before it came
out.
Or
were you the guy in the bar? No. Stole the prototype. Okay, so this week's advice column, and the details are all in there, and the links are all on our website, but we talked about Flipboard earlier. So Flipboard, for those of you that have never seen this, it takes all of your, not just social media, you can take your Facebook feed and your Twitter account and all that stuff, pull that in. But you can also choose the news resources of your choosing, right, to bring it in. And it presents everything like a magazine or a newspaper. instead of a big linear list. If you've seen Twitter, it's just a bunch of texts, and you got to click on the links to see what they're talking about.
Yeah, it really helps Twitter a ton for people who stare at it and I don't get it. This will help you get it.
It's far less ugly.
Yes.
Well, it's just more usable. It's a more efficient way to interface.
It does the work of, in Twitter, if somebody posts, you can't post an image, you can post a link to an image. This brings that forward with the text all together. It's less clicking, less, you get it.
Right? That's a no-brainer. If you are at all into photography, so if you got an iPad 2 and you have the ability to take pictures, but even if you have an iPad 1, you end up with images of various natures on there, whether you're transferring from your camera or whatever. Photoshop Express is such a no-brainer for anybody that's got an iPad or an iPhone. I like it better on the iPad than I do on the iPhone because you can actually make changes to brightness and contrast and pop up the colors. And I mean, it's a really cool little app, and it's free.
And you can see everything you're doing because of the screen size, which is harder to do on the iPhone.
Yeah, it really is.
By the way, when you're there, something it took me a little bit to figure out as a really new iPad user, the apps are separated by iPad apps, and one's made specifically for the pad and its bigger surface and the things it can do versus ones that are made for the iPhone or iPod that will work on it. And then there's some that kind of work both ways.
2X.
Yeah, and the 2X, if you're into like really good visual stuff, don't use the 2X. Those are the apps that are iPhone specific because when you blow them up, they look like crap.
It takes a little bit for you to learn that you want to try to preference things that are made for the iPad. Because the stuff that's not, even though it works and it's cool and it'll get you by, it's just not the right experience.
So what's really surprising is there's still not a real good Facebook app for the iPad from Facebook.
Not one.
But there is from one called Friendly Facebook. That's designed to take advantage of the iPad size. It's really pretty. It's pretty nice.
You know what? There's something about that I like. My iPad, oftentimes I'll hand it off and my kids will play games on it and whatever. And there's the little passcode thing you can put on the Friendly Facebook so that only I'm using it, right? And that's kind of a cool thing that leads me into a whole nother thing I wish Apple would do, which is create like almost like profiles where my wife could log in as her, right? And the email and all that. Because, it's crazy. Sometimes I get emails from myself, which is a sure sign of a scam, right? But it's my daughter who was on, drew a picture, and then sent it to me. But it comes from me because my email set
up. So it looks funky. It's like, oh, wait a second. Oh, wait, no, that's my daughter's photo or picture that she drew.
Right. Yeah. And then the first couple of times I got it, I deleted them, and then she asked me, Daddy, did you get my pictures? Oh, I get it now.
So Zinio, switching gears, or did you want to talk about that?
Well, I don't know what Zinio is. So you do that, and then I'll give you my favorite app.
Well, I mean, let's face it. This pad format is fantastic for traditional newspaper, magazine, that kind of thing. Zinio is the magazine app. So you can get free access to certain types of magazines, or you can actually subscribe to magazines. So the Harvard Business Review, I used to buy them whenever I traveled. You buy them off the shelf in the airport. They're like $25 or something a copy because you're getting the full boat, right? You can get a year's subscription for like $79. But the cool thing is because I use this as a resource, anytime I'm reading through the magazine on my iPad and I see an article that I'd like to discuss with the staff, I click a button and it synopsizes the thing and it just makes it, I can boom, shoot that email off to everybody.
Very cool.
And it's a way to share that document without sharing the content.
We should use that for like show research stuff that we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So now, Zinio, yeah, get Zinio, every great magazine out there.
Now, new iPad owner, whether you're on Wi-Fi or 3G, Pandora.
Yeah.
Pandora rocks.
Gotta have it.
Now, I'll tell you, there is a downside to Pandora, and I'll walk you through a little bit about what Pandora is for those of you who don't know what it is. Pandora is a music sourcing site. So you put in your channel that you want, 80s channel, 70s, or you put in an artist, and it will customize that playlist. Now, you can't pick the songs you want, but it'll pull from that kind of pool of music. And it's great, and it's pretty good at determining, with a couple of thumbs up and thumbs downs, what you like to listen to.
It's more like picking a radio station where you don't choose the actual songs, but you choose the idea.
America's Top 40.
Exactly.
The genre, if you will.
You get to be Casey Kasem.
But you do get to tell the program director, I don't like that song, and they won't play that song
and
again.
And when you thumbs up it or thumbs down it, the song will stop. It will jump to another song. Now, the downside is if you are on 3G and you are streaming for a really, really, really long time, you could...
If you're on a limited plan, a 2 gigabyte.
Yeah.
I think the math I did was if you listen to Pandora for 25 minutes a day for 30 days, you'll max out your plan.
Oh, I listen
way more
than that.
That's like if you're at the gym and you have that roll.
Yeah.
That's going to
be careful if you're on a limited plan with Pandora. There's a bunch more, and it's all in my advice column. But a couple more. Remote, if you have iTunes, the biggest gee whiz thing you can do with your iPad is walk around the house controlling the music that's playing from your iPad, and it's a free app called Remote that'll remotely control your iTunes music library.
It's like Mind Control, only you have to touch things.
Right, and there's a bunch of others. So if you like magazines, Press Reader for newspapers, Overdrive to be able to check out a book virtually from the public library, it's good stuff.
How about Skype?
Skype is cool too.
Works nicely. Kicking.
Skype's a great way to have a video chat with somebody. Hey guys, everybody's on Facebook in this room. We're all Facebook people, Facebook users. Do you know what people are saying about you on Facebook? Do you know if someone's talking smack about you or if there's something on your wall that you didn't post that's inappropriate?
I do.
I mean, I kind of check that thing out maybe every couple days at worst.
You've discovered.
Yes. We've talked about this before, online reputation management. Repler, REPPLER.com. Again, the link's on our website, datadoctors.com/radio. It's a very quick way. It'll scan your Facebook page. It'll give you general impression of the tone of what's going on. Recent discussions based on keywords. Is your privacy or security information at risk? Are you doing things that you shouldn't do? Is there inappropriate content being posted based on these keywords? And then just all kinds of information about you, exactly what other people are trying to generate from what's going on. It's a free little program, website, Repler.com. You allow it to connect to your Facebook page. It scans and it kind of keeps you posted what's happening.
So far on mine, there's no inappropriate content.
Oh, I'll take care of that.
But it doesn't like the fact that I'm from New York, New York.
Yeah, mine did the same thing. It didn't like that I posted my hometown.
Well, here's the thing. How many times is the hometown the security question for banks and that kind of thing? So that's the point of the security there. So you
block it out and you're safe.
Be careful. Or never use that as your security question.
The link to Repler and all the other stuff we talk about, always online, datadoctors.com/radio.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
We all love our smartphones, but do you love them enough to have double the screen space?
Delivering technology for your technology.
The Data Doctors radio program.
So before we jump on that, everyone uses Google for all kinds of everything. We found this cool site that has these tips for using the Google calendars in ways you probably never even thought about before.
I love Google calendars, by the way. It's great for people who are not on my Apple platform.
Right. Well, my wife, she uses Outlook at home, and I finally got her to start putting things in the Outlook, which syncs to her Google calendar through a little magic app, which then makes it to her phone and on my phone so I can see what's going on.
Automatically.
Yeah. So
it
that's
populates
kind of cool
the world.
Thing. Right. But so, if you're going to use the Google Calendar interface directly, there's some cool things like some keyboard shortcuts most people didn't know about.
Well, it's amazing how many people don't realize that keyboard shortcuts are everywhere on everything. Right?
Right. They think they just live in Word
right.
or Excel.
Yeah. Just in Windows.
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Web
pages too. Yeah. So if you want to create an event, for example, in Google Calendars, all you got to do is hit the C key.
Well, Control C.
Or Control C, yeah. And that'll create. C for create. It's very easy.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many of them. The big tip here, just hit Control and question mark, and it brings up all the shortcuts. So for those of you that are using Google Calendar, never knew that there were shortcuts, just Control question mark. It'll bring up all the shortcuts and choose the ones you believe will make you footloose and fancy.
And I'll tell you, if you use Google Calendars, this is one that's a big one for me. When you are looking at the interface and trying to figure out what today's events are and always trying to find the little button for today,
right?
The Control T is T for today, brings you to that view. It makes life so simple,
wait a
so
minute.
Fast. Let
me get this straight. T for today.
Yeah. T for today.
That's rough.
D for day. Guess what's week?
How about tomorrow is T?
No, today.
No, it's today.
I had no idea you could add an attachment to an event. That's a big one for me.
So for example, if you have a document that you need at an event, you can attach that document before the event?
Is that really?
Well, if you think about an event coordinator, anybody that's got information tied to that event, it's okay, that's on my desktop at home or at the, where'd I put that? Where's that document for that event? Boom, you just attach it to the Google. It now lives in cyberspace and you can access it from anywhere.
Okay, now one of the features of Google Calendars that works really well for people like us who all have three very unique schedules with work, families, events, media things, is the rescheduler event. Rescheduler app, part of the app.
There's like a little magic rescheduler deal in
there. Yeah, so what it does is it will look at those shared calendars. So Brandon will look at yours, Ken will look at yours, and it'll look at mine. And if we have a conflict and we're trying to schedule something, it'll look across all of those calendars to find a space that we can all meet together.
It's like the old really expensive exchange server service, right?
Right.
It's all part of this.
It's like secretaries used to be back in the 1900s.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great, though, that if you could use your text message stuff and it would end up in your Google Calendar?
Yeah, because you don't have a smartphone, maybe. So another way to throw something on your calendar, you can send an SMS, a text message, right? And it'll pick it up and poof.
Meet me at the restaurant, 1 o'clock tomorrow, boom, done, and it goes into the calendar. That's a pretty slick way of doing it.
Hey, and I'm about to go on a few trips here. You can auto-decline appointments.
Oh, like I'm gone, so bugger off.
Yeah, so leave me alone.
But all those people asking, you know, for you to can you or can't you, instead of you having to wait till you get back from your trip, it just says, I'm decline.
I'm not here.
I'm out. I'm out.
I'm somewhere other than here. So if you have, if you do use Google Calendars, a lot of us use Google Calendars on our smartphones. So now Kyocera has come up with a way to maximize your use of a calendar?
Well, I mean, we all have multiple monitor displays, right, on our desktops.
I just went to 3 from 2.
Right. I mean, it's great. It's the productivity is insane.
And you went to an 80-inch flat screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of big, huh? I don't even have to put my reading glasses on anymore.
No, you could just look at the screen.
Yes.
It takes up the whole wall.
But, I mean, the cool thing is, I mean, how many smartphones have we heard about multitasking, right, where you can do multiple things? No, you can't.
Yeah, you can only do one thing at a time.
You've only got one screen.
So Kyocera said, ha, we're going to double the glass. So now you have 2 screens on your smartphone. So now instead of having a nice little phone, you have something that looks more like an iPad in your hand.
Not quite. I mean, it flips. It's instead of it.
The second one flips out somehow?
Yeah. Or? So you know how you've got a lot of smartphones that you can get the real QWERTY keyboard and it kind of flips out and it becomes the second surface?
Right.
All they did was say, forget that. Let's just make that another display.
So it opens up like a Nintendo DSi.
Yeah, kind of like that. So you can.
So it's all. But there's no real keyboard. It's all touchy, tap
right.
that glass.
But the idea correct. Is you can have your email on the top and you can have your Facebook on the bottom and actually be working with both of those.
Can you drag and move things around so that you
don't push your luck there, Apple fanboy.
As silly as this sounds, right? When dual monitors and the multi-monitor thing first came out, a lot of people, I thought, really? Who needs this? This is like for stock traders only or something
right.
crazy. You saw it in movies first and then you, no, this isn't real. And now I hate not having multiple monitors because you end up, Maximize, minimize. You're switching between apps. It's just a big pain.
Well, and the verge of going from 2 to 3, I think anybody that's got 2 monitors is already thinking, gosh, it sure would be nice to have that 3rd monitor.
Yeah.
I never have to close this program. I can have it running all the time.
So this even though it sounds a little weird, I wouldn't be surprised if more manufacturers and device manufacturers start doing this because if it works in the office computer world, why not?
Right, because eventually you run out of Windows to work with on your 17-inch laptop, and then you have to add something to it. So now you've got more space on the smartphone, which is smart.
Are you feeling okay? You just said Windows.
I was talking about Windows like in the things you jump out of you talk about that operating system.
Gotcha.
When you get a blue screen?
Now, speaking of, since we're talking about smartphones.
And jumping out the window.
T-Mobile just made a I don't know if it's a smart decision or not, but they've opened up a smart kind of unlimited plan.
Well, they're using his favorite representative for advertising.
The hot chick.
The hot chick, right, to get people to forget about reading the fine print on their quote-unquote unlimited
What do you mean fine print?
Data plan.
It's unlimited. It's unlimited
next
text.
Next degree.
Right. It's unlimited text, unlimited data, unlimited voice, unlimited. It's all unlimited.
Except for when you get to a limit.
For $79 or $79 a month.
It sounds really good until you realize that at 2 gigabytes, you get throttled down.
That's Pandora, 25 minutes a day, and you've already exceeded that.
Right. Now, because you thought you had an unlimited plan, for the rest of the month, right, the 10th day of the month, you've maxed out at 2 gigabytes. The rest of the month, you're throttled down. So your data service, it's there. It's unlimited. It's just
dial-up-ish.
This is the visual. imagine one of those really thick milkshakes, and they hand you a coffee stirrer straw.
Oh, wow.
Have a good day.
That sucks.
It does.
Good day, sir.
Painfully.
Yes, it does.
And so why are they calling? I mean, yes, it's unlimited, but...
Because people don't read fine print. Why do people think that computers only cost $299? Because they don't read the fine print.
So wait, so here's the next question. Why is T-Mobile doing this right after the back-end announcement of AT&T making the
because
big T-Mobile
purchase? Because whoever cooked this up had this in the pipeline, however long. I mean, you know how long it takes big corporations to make any changes?
Maybe it's because the yellow guys, you know, the CEO of Sprint is doing those commercials talking about unlimited, and they feel the need to fight back.
There are rumors also that both Verizon and AT&T on the newer unlimited accounts are doing something similar. They're just not being as verbose about it. So, you know, if you're out there and you have one of those new unlimited plans from Verizon, post something on our Facebook and tell us if you notice that the data speed is a lot slower.
I'm sure it's going to be
down the road.
Remember, all the cool links to all the stuff we're talking about today can be found at datadoctors.com/radio. Plus, there's a great search resource if you're looking for an answer to something, a technology question. If you're thinking it, someone's probably already answered it. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week on the Data Doctors Radio program.
This is the Data Doctors Radio program.